The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 29th of January, 7:05 in the morning, news at the top of the hour, always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And
how are you this morning?
Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick is on the line. We're going to get to her in just a minute after the weather
I'll do a quick read because we want to get
right. We have a national day today.
It's National Puzzle Day.
Okay. All right. We can go with that.
Okay, we like that.
I feel like I'm on a puzzle over here, but I don't have an extra arm, you know, answering the phone and trying to turn on the mics and the music.
You're doing a great job.
All right. Thank you so much for that, because that's, you know, that's what it's all about. It's live and it's, there's action. Mostly sunny today with a high of 66. It's going to be a beautiful forecast here overnight. Lows of 42, with clear skies. I could hear the flag flapping this morning, so there was some breeze, but today the winds are calming down. Tomorrow, 68, partly sunny, mostly cloudy overnight, so 43. Saturday again, our rain is supposedly coming on a Sunday with a slight chance of rain with a high of 65 over the weekend. Slight chance of rain, the mostly clear on Sunday night. So great time to be out and about. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas, Propane, and Anderson, the Kinney family, three generations strong. 365-3793. It's a veteran-owned business. We love our veteran-owned companies. We support our veterans. We salute our veterans, where they always give a veteran and a senior discount at Shasta Gas Propane. Now let's get to the phones with our very special guest. So nice to have you on the phone this morning with us.
Our Assemblywoman, Heather Hadwick. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, it's a little chilly this morning, but it's not like my sister back in Chattanooga where it's 17 degrees.
Or Modoc.
And ice. It's probably a little bit colder where you're at, too, isn't it? Or are you down?
I'm in Sacramento.
So okay.
All right.
Wintering in Sacramento is pretty good.
Not bad.
My colleagues are freezing, but I think it's great because it's not 10 degrees.
So, well, thank you so much for joining us. We're making this a monthly call. And you can always, you can give us updates about what's happening in Sacramento, but I like to start off with the,
with our representative.
A tremendous send off for Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
They did. It was, I think it was the best service I've ever been to. It was just really, really well done, and they had you laughing and crying, and it just really showed how loved he was. It's pretty impressive. I don't know, Speaker Johnson actually said that, you know, there's not another congressman that could have got a plane full and gotten, you know, the vice president to send over Air Force Two. So. He was very well loved, and I think that's just because he was one of us, right? He was just a regular guy, and wasn't what you think of as a politician, and he's just a guy fighting for where he lived because he believed in it, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't that polished lawyer type that so many are in Congress and Senate, and he was a man of the people. He'd much rather be at a barbecue than he would be in a black tie affair.
But he could fit in both, and that was the beauty of it.
He made me a better legislator because he was at everything, and I the first time I went back to D.C. I came back and I had an event, like early the next morning, not even that night. And all I could think of was him, cause he was doing this every week, and I don't know how, like the time change and the flying, like it zaps you. And he was there, and he'd come off a plane and go to a dinner, you know? It's going to be a huge hole in our state.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, of course, they're supposed to be making a decision. Maybe you've heard, I haven't, on Prop 50. And I think it's back to the Supreme Court. And
they haven't made a decision yet, but they're trying. We have a few other things. We're trying to fight it the best we can, but it's timing. You know, the court system is not fast. So.
And then Newsom makes the election for the Doug's district. Doesn't even have it till August. So, you know, it's just another example of Newsom and his failed politics. So, in my opinion,
he definitely put it off. We sent a letter, or I sent a letter from my office, and all the Republicans signed on to it. But we already feel like we don't have much of a voice in D.C., and this just makes it worse.
There's like a vacuum effect. So as you prepare, it's got to be like, okay, it's almost as if, you know, like catastrophe happened or where, you know, something was flooded or your streets, you know, the community was leveled. Now what do you do to rebuild?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, James Gallagher's jumped in and is going to run for that seat. So where he's going to try to finish, you know, as much of Doug's work as he can. It's a very limited time frame.
Yeah.
But he knows that he knows the North State, and he believes in they have the same values, the same beliefs. He'll fight for the same things. And Doug gave him his first job in politics, actually. So he's known Doug a long time and really got into this because of him. So I don't know that there's anybody better to continue that legacy for him, you know. But and then we just keep fighting, you know.
Well,
do you
think there's any? I'm not, you know, talking to a variety of different people. If this Prop 50 stands, that the type of relationship we have with Doug Lemoff and the type of support we have with Doug Lemoff is just gone, disappears.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So I had Doug Lemoff and Kevin Kiley in my district. So all 11 counties, we had two. Now I'm going to five congressmen and party, and they're all in a very, you know, heavy Democrat vote. But besides the party lines, I'm going from two congressmen that lived rural and understood rural to five that are Bay Area folks. And that divide is worse than the parties.
Yeah.
Because we live so differently. And it's not something you can learn fast, you know, and maybe never learn. Like, I don't know that you will have the same understanding. I know you won't have the same understanding, but that urban versus rural divide, even at the state level, that's my biggest challenge. Cause they don't understand and they don't see the same need to have rural living and, you know, and they need us. I mean, they need us and we need them. You know, we need those city centers so we have the industry and the, you know, hustle and bustle and they get all the stuff done, products made, shipped, whatever. But they need us for, you know, we're growing their food and their food's food. You know, we're important too in that ecosystem of society, and teaching them that isn't always the easiest thing.
No, and as you've learned, you know, you've done it. The Dallies did it. They tried to bring legislators from the, you know, Southern California up, and it works in a way in the sense that. They go, you know, OMG, you've got to drive 60 miles to get a prescription, you know, that kind of stuff. And yet it seems like as soon as they leave, you know, they go back and put their head up their,
it helps to a point, right? Like there are some things that I know that they voted different or they've put bills through that because of something they learned on our tours, which is amazing, and I love that, and I will forever bring people to our district.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's other things, like today, we're voting on a mileage tax, and like a road usage type mileage tax, and that will kill rural California.
Okay, can you, Heather, can you hang on till after this break? Because this is going to be, because I have lots of questions about this, because we saw this coming years ago.
Yeah.
So we're here with Assemblywoman Heather Adwick, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking the proposed mileage tax, and we'll be right back.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready to experience the clairvoyance at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Direct from Vegas with an all-new show featuring never-before-seen mental magic and spectacular illusions.
Indulge in a date night of mystery, magic, and cuisine on February 14th.
An elegant pasta dinner will be served at 6:30 p.m.
Experience the clairvoyance.
Tickets just $75 plus fees. For complete details, visit windriver.com.
Or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Must be 21 to attend.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark.
Taking place two separate nights, Thursday, February 5th and Friday, February 6th. From 6 to 9 p.m.
at Turtle Bay Museum in Reading. Enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines,
live music, and a fun night out. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends.
This 21 and over event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out.
Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, February 5th and 6th.
Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 29th of January, 7:19 in the morning, on the line is Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick. And when we left, I had to stop her because I know this is going to take longer than you just talking about it for a minute. Good morning, Assemblywoman.
Good morning.
And thank you so much for being with us. And,
absolutely.
Which isn't a surprise. That's the type of person you are. You said you're getting ready to vote on the, you know, the evil. I'm trying to think of other words for it. Anyway, let's just go with bad. It's a proposed mileage tax on Californians.
Yes. Yeah, so it's phase two of the mileage tax. So they already voted to do a study and see what, you know, research it. This now creates an advisory board and has them present a report and, you know, tells the state and the leadership what they should do next. So, and then they would bring it back and do it again. It originally was supposed to be because they don't think people that drive electric vehicles are putting their fair share into the roads and road maintenance, right? So the more electric vehicles we get, they're not paying gas tax. And so that's the way it was pitched anyway. But it does not have any language that we feel really assures gas-powered car owners that they won't be double taxed and be paying at the gas pump and, again, paying a mileage tax. They say the average is $900, but we know in rural that's going to be different, right? I drove 52,000 miles in 13 months. I just went and bought tires, and Big O told me that, and I was shocked. I knew I drove a lot, but, like, I don't live somewhere where I cannot drive, and this will literally kill people in my district because they already have a hard time going to the doctor, and, you know, they have to take a day off work. They have to pay gas, lunch, whatever, then the medical fees, and, you know, everybody is already so strapped. This is ridiculous, but I think the worst part is, it takes the power away from the taxpayers because we're supposed to be able to vote when the state raises our taxes, and they're saying this is a road usage charge, not a tax.
Okay, let's go back to this again. I knew about if you're driving an electric car. So with their infinite wisdom they have down there when they're pushing electric cars and, you know, alternative fuel methods for your cars, they should have known is that, well, then the gas tax is going to, you're not going to get the gas receipts. So now to make up for that, they put a fee on the electric cars. And now you're saying, if I understand this right, the new bill could put a tax on the mileage we're driving.
Yes. So the miles
could or will.
It will if they decide to do it. So,
okay.
This is like phase two. So this is them coming in and doing, their report, presenting to the governor, saying this is where we want to be, and it's very vaguely written, which always scares us. But I get it. We need more money for roads, but this is not the way to get money for roads. And the other part is that the road, gas tax is protected. It's, protected by the California Constitution to make sure that legislators can't divert it. And, the leadership in office can't divert it to other things and other projects. It has to go to roads. This does not. Because they're considering it a road uses charge, not a tax.
So it's
a sneaky way to charge us more money, and
how would they collect this?
We don't know. That's the other part that's not clear. So we don't know how they would prove it. We don't know. That's the other part. Like how would they truly, unless they're tracking you, and we don't want that.
Well, I'm just trying to think is that. I heard something, and again, this is urban myth or whatever, I didn't know, but I heard that, places where you get your oil change and all that, that the information, because it goes from one oil change to the next, can be reported. So, you drive your 4,000 miles and 5,000, and then you get your oil change, and you do that, three times a year or whatever, then they've got you for 15,000 miles or something. Now, I don't know if that's true, but there's got to be a way that they can estimate it, because a lot of people do their own oil changes. And we go into you get people driving down in San Francisco, and some people don't even have cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And because they use Ubers and use their cars or very little. And yet we're out here, and to do a day's work, you're putting 200 miles on your car.
Yeah.
It's not fair. So we're not being fairly feed. What I mean? They're calling it a fee. I'd call it a tax.
Right. You're punishing rural.
Yeah.
and who already pays at the pump. Like, we already buy more gas and usually pay a higher price for gas because of where we live.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting. And there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered. Like, how does it work if you're driving for work? If I get paid mileage for work, you know, and you're driving, because our people all drive to Reading or somewhere, you know, they're driving 3 hours, 4 hours, or they're driving to Sacramento to go to a training.
Uh-huh.
Do they have to pay that tax? Does the department have to pay that tax? What about our law enforcement? Like, they're driving all day. What about Uber, taxis, like, these service, all the transportation services, like, how is this all going to work?
How about long range
truck drivers?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. What about truck drivers that are bringing all the supplies in?
And who's going to pay for that van? We are.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, are they going to
one more fight? You know.
Well, if they, I remember in Oregon several years ago they had a test model. And people volunteered to have a little GPS on their car to keep track of it.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so I can just see we're going to put, you know, a tracker on our car so they can see how much. I mean, this thing is just, we're already paying more than any other state in the nation for gas.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. And they pitch it that it will be less. Like, they say they're going to take the gas tax away and just make this road usage charge. But even that, even if they do that, it's still bad because that money's not protected. So there's no guarantee it's going to go to roads. And I can guarantee they're going to spend it on other things.
Yes, well, yes, I can just imagine.
Yeah, because the state of California has done so well in managing its money over the last 3 or 4
driving
years.
Driving back and forth, you know, we do too, because my parents live in Granite Bay and my brother lives in Carmack.
Yeah.
We're back and forth all the time. And I just can't even believe the slow lane, you know, the right lane, on how bad it is on your car. Just it's not just that. It's like we have driven to to Reno. We have driven to
New Mexico
on the way to New Mexico.
Do not drive on I-40 and be in the slow lane between Kingman and Gallup. You nobody drives in it. Because it's so bad. But that's in another state. But just here, you know, is there a way, would they just raise the registration fees?
Yeah, I don't know. When do you have to pay it? Do you have to pay it when you do your taxes? So are people just going to stop doing their taxes? Or if you have to take a picture of your odometer, it's pretty easy to Photoshop things now. Like, they're not going to get, people are not going to be truthful about this.
This whole thing is another example of a state that makes more than enough money, as we bragged everybody, the fourth largest economy in the world, and yet we don't have enough money. This, to me, is ludicrous.
Yeah, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's crazy. So it will, you'll hear a lot about it today and through the week. We're fighting it hard. But that's just one of many examples of their disconnect between rural and urban and how we live and, you know, why these things won't work.
You know, does it get frustrating, Heather? I mean, I know you're, when I say laid back, I don't mean laid back and doing your job, but you know, you're a pretty calm person. But when you're in the middle of this, listening to these crazy people, I mean, is there a point where you want to go John Wick and take your pencil and start stabbing people?
there's only been a couple. There's been one day in particular that I was like, "What am I doing here? This is a waste of time," because they just don't get it. And that was the day they were fighting about law enforcement and the masks. And that when they talk about law enforcement, it just gets me, because I just can't. I mean, I have a lot of friends in law enforcement, and their experience is bad, and I am sorry for them, but they have no idea what our law enforcement are like up here.
Right.
And the majority of law enforcement is great. There's bad in every sector. You're going to have a few.
Yeah. Sure.
And it kills me when they talk about it, and they talk about them, and they lump it all together, you know?
Right.
And when we have people putting their life on the line for us daily, and there's just that respect and that,
one bad apple,
you know,
that would
gratefulness.
Be like,
yeah. is just not there. So that was my worst day, I would say. This will be close, because it's a party line thing. They'll all vote for it because they'll have to. And even if they're, you know, they understand and they realize how much it'll hurt me, they'll still vote for it. So I always tell people, if you see people that aren't voting party line, especially on the majority, you need to thank them because they're voting for their district because they know it would be a bad bill for the district, which is how we should all vote.
Right.
Sure.
But they get there's a lot of pressure to stick with the group. And there's some things that just won't work for a district, you know, on both sides. And we should be there for the people we represent, but that doesn't always get to happen. So I always thank them and tell them, you know, that I'm proud of them for doing
that. Well, yeah. I think on votes like that, I'd bring in my cattle dog and have him sit in my seat. And when they say, how do you vote? Just bark, you know, just bark. And go, yeah, that's how much chance we have of common sense here. Yeah. My dog is making more sense than you are. So, right. Of course, that's just me. We have to take a quick break. We're here with Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick, and she's, you know, I've talked to one of your predecessors after he'd been there for less time than you've been here, and he just said to me, he's like, I can't believe it. It's full of crazy people. He goes, I had no idea. He says, I knew it was going to be kind of weird, but I didn't think it was going to be this weird. And, you know, maybe it's settled down a little bit. Anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry voted best in the North State now 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. They don't advertise except right here on KCNR. And really only during Free Fire Radio because we do a live read for them. But they've won this honor because they are truly, truly exceptional people down there. Been in the business over 30 years. The only full-service jewelry store in Redding. Watch repair, stone cutting, jewelry design. Great
best
selection.
Best in the North State. You said that already 4 years in a row. But they're the people, family-owned and honest people. I've got people most every day telling me, I went into Four Winds Jewelry. They're great. Anyway, thank you for sponsoring us and being with us. They are our jeweler of choice. Sincerely, they did our wedding rings. We've been in there for 20 years. That is 2225 Hilltop Drive. And we'll be right back.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Wind River Resort and Casino is excited to announce the return of Slap War. Brought to you by Heartbot Productions. This exhilarating showdown will have two fierce opponents going head-to-head in an unforgettable battle of slaps. Who will emerge as the last one standing? Event is January 31st. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. For complete details or to purchase tickets, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
All right. Yes, it is Thursday, 7:36 in the morning on the 29th. We're almost, this is a very long month. It's an interesting time to, you know, finish up the Christmas, put the stuff away, and to kind of have this.
When would that happen?
Where do we go now? Well, the house is kind of taken apart.
It's in between.
It's
right
in between.
Now.
Yeah, it's in between. And we're doing having a fundraiser at our house at the end of February. And so there's, you know, like, what do we do now? Anyway, welcome back to our show. We have Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick with us. And by the way, before we get into the next topic, I'd like to say once again thank you. I know Susan Eastman, a good friend of ours who calls in here and does a market minute with us from Stiefel Investments. She purchased the lunch with Heather Hadwick with our Chicks and Chops event that we did last year. So thank you for donating that. She hasn't set a date yet. Lunch with the Assemblywoman where we get to go down there. I said I'll go with her. I'd love that.
Yeah.
And come, see the chambers if we can and get to know you better, et cetera. So thank you for donating that. And the date will be redeemed, just so you know. It's not hanging out there
in
the air.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Heather, I got a press release, and I get these from you on a regular basis, but this one is kind of this is about releasing a person who's been found guilty of violent sexual offenses and severe mental health needs back into Alta, which is you could really define Alta as rural. And you've been fighting this. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so they, so often they have these sexual violent predators that they decide, the state hospitals decide are deemed to, cured to release, and they keep trying to stick them in rural communities, and it just doesn't work. It's not good for anybody. This town, Alta, has 700 people in it, and it's in Placer County in the forest. Very isolated, about a little over an hour from Sacramento. Extreme weather, winter, you know, winter storms, fires, power goes out for days. They've have a house saved for this man. He's already been released once and failed and got put back in, because he broke violated his parole. But they deemed him okay, even though just months ago he was fantasizing about his victims again. His victims of all ages. They want to put him in this tiny town that overlooks a Christmas tree farm where families come and, you know, visit every year. There's a camp down the road that has 3,500 kids every summer. The neighbor is a pastor and has four children, and they have a homeschool, so they're homeschooled all day. The neighborhood has multiple young girls in it, and it's by a recreation. It's not what the state deems a park, but it's a recreation area that was used like a park in this community. It's right down the road, and you know, where people go walk their dogs and hike and you know, use outdoors, because that's where we live there, right? Not to mention that we have, you know, a longer law enforcement response time. We have no mental health, you know, resources for this guy. There's no job opportunities or a future in this town. He has zero ties to it.
I'm sorry to break in, but if he has zero ties, how did they pick Alta?
They found somebody that'll rent him a house.
Oh.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Now, there's other things, too.
And they pay a lot for
yeah.
you to rent
of course
a house.
They do.
For you to, and the person that owns the house doesn't live there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it just, it's awful. And I'm so proud of this little town because they came out. They are fighting this with everything they have. And they have one store there in the community for groceries or whatever. And it's across the street from the school. You know, it's not just inappropriate. It's a reckless decision on the behalf of the state. So we are fighting it. They decide on February 13th. But we're asking everybody to put their comments on the portal for the Placer County DA. And the DA has been the DA and the sheriff have been just amazing protecting this little community.
Well, you know, there's even more to it. It's one thing to say, oh, you know, very little limited mental health and all that. But where it is, he's supposed to be wearing a ankle mm-hmm. monitor, but because of where you are, their signals aren't good. They don't have limited cell service. You're not going to know where this guy is.
Even GPS. GPS messes up there, and right at there's a canyon, I guess, at the base of where this property is, and they were talking about how GPS doesn't work there, so it's not even that far from the property.
Well,
plus the response to get him would be coming from Sacramento. So,
Just kind of inserting there in a moment, I watched a documentary on Elizabeth Smart last night, and even though she was of a affluent neighborhood and her family, the camp where they kidnapped her and the camp, first of all, the family went through hell, but where they kidnapped and held her was in a canyon not far, they camped not far from her house. And she had said that she heard people calling her name, so they were looking for her, but she was in fear of her life because this guy was, I'll kill you and your family. So she now, after going through the trauma of being a year under this, in these horrible conditions, she is an avid speaker on sexual assault and what goes on for somebody through this trauma and afterwards. And so, man, if she could come out and speak or everybody should watch that and say, you know, we need to give a second thought about this guy being in this community.
Well,
there's nobody, they're not protected. They are not protected.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I co-authored a bill with Assemblymember Alan East that we just voted on Monday, and it got through the Assembly. Now it's headed to the Senate, but it's 767, and it makes a law where they consider a homeschool a school, and they consider daycare sites, because they don't consider that right now in placement. So, because it's not fair to these homeschool kids, and especially in rural communities, we have a lot of homeschoolers that, you know, that would be then put into danger because they're neighbors with this man. You know, it's an awful situation. I really hope that the judge sees that this is not a good fit, and it's not safe for the community, but it's also not safe for this man.
Well, see, there, I wasn't going to mention that, but you did. You get up and
everyone did at the town hall.
You know, if there was any suspicion at all, he's, you know, he's just gonna, they're gonna, They're going to find that his ankle bracelet took him to a certain place.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared. And I'm of course not advocating that, but you know, when people have fear like this and nobody's listening to them, and if it comes down to their kids or this guy, has anybody gone after the property owner?
I know the community's been talking to them, but that's really, that's the easiest way to make it not happen is that the property owner backs out and sees that this is bad for the place they live. But
I'm surprised the
property owner doesn't live there. So
yeah. I'm surprised the property is still standing.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating that either, but I'm kind of surprised. I mean, you know, these people have taken care of themselves for a long time.
And it's a two-story house, and they have to block off the second story because he's not allowed in it, because then he could peek in windows. And his last house was a two-story house, and that's how he violated his parole, as he was exposing himself and had, and yeah. So it's unreal that we're letting these people out of prison, you know, and not thinking about the victims that he, you know, destroyed their life, but also like the potential dangers, and stick him in a town that has no way for him. He's going to literally be locked in that house, essentially, not able to go anywhere, and sitting in a house with no, imagine he doesn't get internet, because he also got in trouble with the internet. So I'd hope they don't give him the internet, but that's going to make him go stir crazy. Like, how is that a good option for him to be, you know, back into society?
Well, I can't help but think, with all the things you've been talking about, that the California Department of State Hospitals plan, that they're going to rethink this and say, maybe we need to put him in a place there's more people, where there's more health, you know, more mental health opportunities for him.
Yeah.
And
just more opportunities.
Yeah.
You can't blend in a small town, like, especially after this, you know, where if you are in an urban setting, you could at least go to the store and people won't know who you are, possibly,
yeah.
You know, like you can't have any seeming normal life.
Yeah.
And that's what they say they want for him. you know, I think he should be locked up, but that's just me.
Why don't they just... You know, we have to take a break. I'm not even going to comment anymore on this girl. I'll probably get in trouble. 7:47 in the morning, we're here with Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick. And if you think about purchasing an electric vehicle, well, why not? They're going to tax you, they're going to tax you how many miles you drove anyway. Renting an electric utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about state, local, and I don't know how many federal rebates are still available, but there may be a few out there. And we'll be right back with Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We're calling in about 42 degrees out there, 7:51 in the morning. And Assemblywoman, we're honored to have Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick with us. Okay, we've got like 8 minutes left. What's going on that you want your constituents to know about? There's so many things, I know.
So
that.
Busy, I know. We've only been back in session for a few weeks, and it's just crazy. Wolves continue to...
Wolves!
Right now, we actually got an informational hearing last week, and it was good. They let us have some of the speakers, too, which was they didn't have to do, and let us pick people to bring in so we could get the rancher perspective and the law enforcement perspective and kind of boots on the ground. There will be a lot of bills, I think, multiple bills this year. We have two bills that we're going to push out. We've been meeting with Cattlemen's and Farm Bureau and RCRC, all the stakeholders, including the environmental animal groups, trying to figure out like how we move forward. And we had a big sit down with the Secretary of Natural Resources, Wade Crowfoot, and CDFW, and they were great. Everybody knows there's a problem, and we have to figure out what our path is to support ranchers and just do a better job, because right now we're not doing a good job. So We're going to have a bill about transparency and just information sharing and making sure that the ranchers have current information and that CDFW has some accountability as well. And, we're going to do a public safety bill to basically just make the federal law and language the same as the state law, that they could come in if it's a public safety risk and have a depredation if they need to, and give them some protection on that side if the sheriff needs to step in, because we've had several. I mean, we've had wolves at elementary schools, and they're continuing to come closer and closer to the communities and in the communities, and because we don't have enough food to sustain them. So,
we do. We've got all these herds of cattle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we can't do that.
Hey,
but our deer, our antelope, our elk, their numbers are just plummeting, and they're doing counts right now, but it's hard to get an accurate count on wildlife. And, but we definitely have to start thinking big picture, because we're managing everything separately. And we have bears here. We have half the bears population of the state are in our district. Tahoe has the highest density of black bears in the world. I have El Dorado County has the highest density of mountain lions in the nation. And we have mountain lions everywhere now. and now we have wolves. So when you have three predators.
Did you see where that mountain lion was captured in San Francisco?
Yes, that was during our hearing. Like, we're having a hearing on human-wildlife conflict, and they are, and they actually talked about it. The chair talked about it, and she's from the Bay Area. And I'm like, and they removed it before we got out, because I wish I would have made comments on it, because they got that thing moved out really quick and relocated probably to our district. And, you know, it just, they're telling us, we just need to figure it out and live with them, you know.
Well, I'm just, you know what I am really surprised about? That maybe because nobody's saying anything about it, but that the population of wolves is starting to decline up in the northern areas here, because nothing's being done. And so ranchers are protecting their families and their livelihood their own way. But yet I haven't heard anything, you know, about that.
No. I think because they're so protected, and we're really trying, I think this summer, I mean, I fully expected somebody to snap. I did, because they were put to the brink. I mean, the stress and the mental health and the emotional loss of waking up to this every day. Like, I just get sent the pictures, and it's so hard, and it's such a helpless feeling. And I feel like we really proved to them, like, hey, like, we are in this. You know, we didn't blow them up as much as we could have. You know, I'm sure they feel like they got blown up all the time, but we didn't. We're really trying to do this the right way.
Yeah.
And I hate that they just put us all as, you know, we just want to kill them all. We want to, you know, that's not, like, we get it. We live where we live because we love it, and we know there's wildlife, but we also want all of that wildlife. We still want a deer herd. We still want elk. We want the antelope. We don't want our kids to have to be afraid to play outside, or, you know, the elderly lady that walked the same road for 50 years now can't walk it because there's wolves.
Or let your dog out. Let your dog out.
Yeah, yeah. And that fear is real. And these wolves were, I mean, do you remember when they used to be such, like, a mythical animal?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Nobody ever saw them.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that's the way it should be. They should be wild where we don't see them. And that's not what we're dealing with now. So... It's very frustrating, but we're trying. We're gonna put a big budget ask in too, because the state needs to put their money where their mouth is. They need to prove that they want these wolves there. So they need to fund it. They need to fund CDFW and give them the tools to do their job, because that's not fair either. And they need to pay the damages.
Yeah. Well. We've run out of time, Assemblywoman, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate you being on every month.
Yes,
to
Heather.
Talk about this.
We
haven't had a chance to talk about a lot of things because of, you know, two things. You know, somebody being released back into your district in the town of Alta, and also this wolf thing that's been going on.
A two-time pedophile.
Yeah. And this wolf thing, and then the car tax, I mean, the mileage tax. I mean, we appreciate you fighting a good fight.
Right. Amen to that.
I'm trying, and unfortunately, we're so broken. There's so many fights, so we could be here all day.
Yeah, I was going to say this could be a 6-hour show, and we wouldn't even get into next month about what's happening.
Just this week.
Well, don't give up. What you know is that we're. You know, we're behind you. You are reaching out. You're going that extra step. And don't lose that fire.
I won't. Thank you so much for having me. It's always so good to catch up.
Well, it is. And I'm sure we'll see each other here in the next month or two, because you're always around here.
And you can always go back into our archives at KCNR1460.com. If you were driving and you had to get out of your car or whatever this morning and you wanted to hear back some of the details of Assemblywoman Heather Hadwick's call-in this morning, and just go into archives here with this morning show, the 29th. With Free Fire Radio.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Okay. Bye. Hey, we're going to break from the news, and we've got a movie that was produced here and filmed right here in town. We've got one of their main people is going to be talking to us about it. And
don't we have our conductor?
And then Scott Seaton's supposed to be rolling
yes,
through here after that. Okay. Okay, we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rex Thomason. We've made a lot of progress in the last few days. That's Border Czar Tom Homan's assessment of talks he's held with state and city officials in Minnesota, including Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey.
If we get these agreements in place, that means less agents on the street. More agents in the jail means less agents in the street. This is common sense cooperation that allows to draw down on the number of people we have here. Yes, I said it. Draw down the number of people here.
President Trump dispatched Homan to Minneapolis amid the turmoil over immigration enforcement by federal agents. The FBI investigating allegations of discrepancies in the 2020 election. The Bureau has served a search warrant at Fulton County, Georgia's election headquarters seeking ballots from the election. Disagreements over immigration enforcement could lead to a partial government shutdown at week's end.
The Senate has until Friday midnight to pass six spending bills, but Democrats are threatening to block funding for the Department of Homeland Security because of the fatal shootings by ICE agents in Minneapolis. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats are demanding reforms and that the legislation won't pass until ICE is reined in and overhauled. Republicans will need Democratic votes to keep the government open. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Man's been arrested for allegedly repeatedly ramming his car into the Chabad-Lubavitch World Headquarters in New York City. The Hasidic Jewish Center was damaged, but there were no injuries. President Trump is turning up the heat on Iran, saying that Tehran had better agree to a nuclear deal with the U.S. or else. Stocks deep in the red this morning on Wall Street. The Dow is down 289 points, and NASDAQ off almost 600 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Now that we're finally into the new year, a lot of us are thinking about taxes, home projects we've been putting off, ways to get ahead financially in 2026. Now's the perfect time to talk to my friends at Fellowship Home Loans. If you want to lower your mortgage payment, they can help you refinance. If you need access to cash for home improvements or to wipe out high interest debt, their fixed rate line of credit is one of the best tools out there. Fast approval, predictable rate, and flexibility to use your home's equity wisely. Remember, many people still qualify to skip their next two mortgage payments. Imagine starting big projects or paying down debt with 2 months of breathing room. My family and I have used Fellowship personally. I trust these guys. Take control of 2026. Go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. 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 Or call 800-510-MIKE. That's 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans. Mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers. DBA Fellowship Home Loans. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 819382.
The U.S. is resuming aid shipments to Somalia.
The U.S. says it's lifting a suspension of aid to Somalia, saying Somali authorities have taken responsibility for actions earlier this month that disrupted aid shipments. The Somali government has not confirmed the U.S. claim. The U.S. State Department said on January 7th that it suspended aid through the World Food Program at the port of Mogadishu after Somali officials destroyed a U.S.-funded warehouse belonging to the WFP, which is part of the United Nations, and seized 82 tons of food intended for impoverished Somalis, including specialized food for young children and pregnant and breastfeeding women. The WFP earlier said that its warehouse was demolished by Somali authorities. Somalia's foreign ministry had denied the allegation. I'm Donna Warder.
The leaders of Britain and China are calling for a comprehensive strategic partnership. News and analysis, townhall.com. UPS has retired its fleet of MD-11 cargo planes.
The move comes just months after one crash during takeoff causing 15 deaths in Louisville, Kentucky. The plane's left engine had fallen off the wing, and the plane was able to climb only 30 feet before crashing. The Federal Aviation Administration grounded all MD-11s after the crash. An agency statement this week said The FAA continues to review all the facts and circumstances in deciding whether MD-11s would be allowed to fly again.
Correspondent Bill Alexander. Although Wall Street's having a tough go of it today, few ripples washed through the market yesterday after the Fed decided to keep its main interest rate steady, just as investors had expected. The U.S. stock and bond markets each remained at a virtual standstill yesterday, while the U.S. dollar stabilized following its sharp recent slide against its peers. Precious metals prices, meanwhile, continue to skyrocket. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 29th of January, 8:05 in the morning, and news at the top of the hour, always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassionate community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Ben's here. It's National Puzzle Day.
Yeah, National Puzzle Day.
Okay.
And,
all right.
William McKinley, too, was born.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
1843.
Okay. I don't remember that. what do we have for weather here for the next week?
Good morning, everybody. Looks like we're going to have around 66 today. If you look outside, it's a crisp morning, but beautiful, mostly sunny today. Mostly cloudy tonight with our overnight lows of around 42. Friday's calling for 68. Saturday, around 66. Now the sun, it looks like a little bit of rain is coming on Sunday, with around 65, slight chance of rain, the mostly clear on Sunday night with 41, and Monday's calling for 67. So we do have a nice and beautiful forecast with just a slight chance of rain on Sunday, and, chilly outside, but nothing too low in the freezing temperature. So, like a nice forecast ahead of us. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson. It's the Kinney family, three generations strong. Shasta Gas Propane for all your propane and gas needs. Give them a call at 365-3793. Oh. And they always give, it's a veteran-owned business, and they always give seniors and veterans discounts.
I'm having breakfast with Chuck Kinney.
All right. Say hi. They're great people.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, in the studio with us, we talked about it's puzzle. It's the National Puzzle Day and what it is to put together a motion picture and have it actually come together and to be released is the biggest puzzle that you could possibly acting, directing, filming, budget, editing, making sure we've seen some things before, documentaries where it takes 10 years or more for a project to be developed.
And our guest is Tyler Lockamy.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
Who is probably one of the main moving forces about this film being.
You are the producer, which means you're the guy in charge.
I am. That was a beast to take on.
Well, you have like a star cast.
Yeah, we have a really good cast.
And so, we're excited you're here today.
So tell us about the Dresden Sun.
The Dresden Sun is a cyberpunk sci-fi thriller. It's about a piece of technology that is highly sought after by a conglomeration of corporations, which are hell-bent on controlling humanity. Never heard of that story before, have you?
Oh,
no, 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 no. Well, I think they said there's only been three original stories ever written, and that was back in the 1800s and everything else. Right.
Yeah.
But the big thing about this is, where was it filmed?
So this film, very excitedly, was filmed about 95% in Redding in Shasta County.
And yeah. I don't remember. And when was it filmed?
We've started filming in 2022.
Right.
And post-production, when you see this film, you're going to be like, oh, okay. Post-production took us about 3 years.
Okay.
I bet.
It was a beast.
I do not remember, and maybe it was, but it was, mm-hmm. 2022, you said.
Yeah.
A lot of publicity about this.
Yeah, so some of that was kind of on purpose.
Okay.
I didn't know how, we have Christina Ricci and Samantha Nguyen, Mina Suvari, Stephen Ogg. I didn't know how the community was going to react. And so I was like, are we going to have like a bunch of people showing up or what? So we kind of did keep it a little bit on the DL. And, you know, it was funny. The Record Searchlight got a picture from someone's cell phone saying that Christina Ricci was spotted in downtown Reading.
Yes, yes. But I remember that.
It was actually Samantha Wynn. And so I texted her and I said, thank you for being the guinea pig. But we had like 12, 15 people, very, you know, they were really nice and didn't get in the way. All they wanted to do was watch us film. And so, you know, I was very happy to, you know, allow them to do that.
Well, share with us some of the locations, because as we look at the poster, by the way, I have the poster in the KCNR studios.
And it's like Shenzhen City.
It does. So that, when you talk about the post-production, is that what you're talking about, what that was to really edit and do the special effects and all of that? But then you're having to shoot locally. So, like, give us some of the locations.
So we kind of did a hybrid thing here where we not only did we film at live locations around town, like we filmed outside of the police department for a scene. We filmed inside and outside of the convention center. That was actually Christina Ricci's first day, was inside giving kind of a TED Talk lecture about this piece of technology. And, you know, we filmed – we had a warehouse in Anderson that we actually built 17 different sets inside. We made it rain. We shot the exterior of that building. We used everything that we could to be able to make these shots. We also filmed in the whiskey bar at Blade & Barrel. Shout out to the Odells there. They were really, really amazing to work with. It's a beautiful scene that we got in there. We shot the alley in the back of the Cascade Theater, and you...
That's a great alley.
You would not recognize it in the film, but it is an amazing short kind of establishing shot to this fictional bar that is in the film. But we used everything. And, you know, with the post-production, the reason it took so long, you know, we had everything from just simple screen replacements to, you know, putting in entire cityscapes in the background, and also kind of, you know, modifying a little bit, like the convention center. You'll still recognize the you know, the monolithic structure of the building, but we did enhance it, you know, which is pretty cool. I'm so happy. And I have to say, you know, this film is directed by Michael Ryan. He wrote it. He directed it.
Okay. Wondering who the writer was.
He's the cinematographer. He also edited the film, and he was the visual effects producer.
Man.
He wore so many different hats, but that's kind of our background as indie filmmakers. We're used to wearing all of that.
Doing it and also working on the sets and cleaning the floor and making sure the speck is gone from the wall over there.
Yep.
So, okay. So how did you team up with the writer and the producer? Do you have a company where you, like, you know, give us a little history. Did you grow up together and say, we're going to do this, and why not bring it right to Reading? Because when you talk about how long was the vision of this film and you being brought in order to raise the funds to complete it?
So we met in 2006, and immediately, the exact moment that I met him was he was holding a camera, and we were filming essentially a promo for the Dresden Sun. And this was in 2006.
Oh, man.
So you're talking about 20 years ago.
Yes. Ugh.
And so we worked really well together on that promo. We went on to make some music videos, some other short films, commercials, and all the while the Dresden Sun was in the back, you know, and we were just trying to get funding for it. And we came really close a couple times for a really sizable budget. This is when indie films could still be funded, you know, through the studio system. And, you know, they might throw you a bunch of money to be, you know, go and make your movie. And we came really close a couple times, but ultimately those fell through. But, you know, I grew up here, in Shasta County. My family moved here to Oak Run in Whitmore.
Oh, Oak Run.
Yep.
You were out there.
Yep. Uh-huh. And my mom started a business, and my dad as well, called Beneficial Insectary, which is, they raised, good bugs that eat bad bugs for organic pest control.
Oh man, what a story! And that's and
oh my gosh, yeah. And so that's where I grew up in Oak Run, and I moved to Los Angeles when I was 21, and that's when this whole story started. Yeah, and immediately I realized that Redding was going to be a really cool place to film, but it took us a long time to get a project up here, the first one.
I'm bad. Tyler, there's going to be a, we're going to have a film or premiere here.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So on February 2nd, we are doing a, showing at the Cinemark at the Movies 14.
Right.
It is sponsored by Rodney Barr of Grocery Outlet and Weed.
Okay.
So massive, 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 massive thank you to that. You know, like that support is huge for us. You know, the whole reason we make a movie is so that we can watch it in a theater.
Yes.
You know, and we get all of our friends and family there. And
sponsored by the guy who owns Grocery Outlet
yeah,
and Weed.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, that's like small town stuff, right? I love it. You know, this is one of the biggest things that we made a film back in 2016 called Interpreters, which is kind of in the same world but a much lower budget. And you know, the community allowed us to create something in film. It's called Perceived Value. And so we were able to film at all these different locations, and it was just asking the community, you know, like, hey, you have a house that really fits what we need in this shot. Can we film in your house? And they're like, heck yeah. Who are you? you know, and so we've constantly been reminded that, this community is so supportive. And we have a you know, up and coming film community here in Redding.
Yeah, Sabina has been on the show several times, and it's, you know, people don't realize is that we have a wonderful. We're going to go a little bit longer here. We have a wonderful area up here.
Yeah.
For filming.
Yeah.
One of the things that limits us, though, because I talked to a producer that's done some big movies. Mm-hmm. I mean. And of course, he says, yeah, we do the 18 to 26. They did the Flaming Balls and others, and they got involved in the, what was that one where the people wear the mask? And
it was a big horror film.
Yeah,
oh,
it was a big
okay.
horror film. You know, it's, yeah. Now it's a series.
Yeah.
But he said, our budget is, and it was like 50 million or 30 million. Yeah. And he goes, it's not enough to bring all of the ancillary positions up here to put a big movie in. You know, you need a base of like a, you know, some studio with all these types of people that are available. And I imagine that you probably ran into the same thing.
It was surprising. You know, at the time we had the flights going in and out of Burbank.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which
yeah.
was amazing.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
we literally had about 275 flights. We flew that much just on this project.
Wow.
Wow.
We, you know, we spent over 450 room nights in the hotels around town.
Wow.
We spent over $1 million locally just at Home Depot. You know,
building
sets and everything, you know, from the pre-production that we had to do all the way through production. You're talking about a huge amount of money that's potential, you know, and we're are a very small company and the budget is very small compared to what, you know, some of the stuff that's coming through town.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think I get to talk to Sabrina pretty often, and at the time, like, she's bound by NDA, what projects are looking to film up here. But after they're gone, I'll be like, hey, you know, what was going on? And, you know, she'd tell me, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool that we get, you know, even talked to about filming up here by these big films.
Mm.
And I actually worked, she'd called me to, look out for some locations for One Battle After Another with, DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro. And I tried to get locations here for them. I have a check from Warner Brothers, you know, and I didn't know what project it was, but I knew it was Warner Brothers and I knew it was big. And then I found out what it was. I was like, man, if people knew
right.
that these projects are actively filming here.
Right.
Because they will come in. They're like ghosts in the night. They'll come in, shoot their stuff, and then leave. And
like
you never
the Donny
know.
Osmond
you never
even video. Know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay.
Little
so, Tyler,
but
it's going to be, you're going to have the premiere.
How do we get tickets?
February 2nd at the Cinemark.
Yep.
And what time?
That is going to be, well, I have to tell you, so we are sold out.
Oh.
But we are actively looking for sponsor for another one, because I know there's a ton of people here in town that want to see the film, and
yes.
I want them to be able to
yes.
see it. And what we did was, because of Rodney Barr at the grocery outlet in
right.
Reed, these tickets were complimentary. So,
okay.
you know, we have 135 people come in to watch this movie, and they didn't have to pay for it, and I love that. So,
sure.
You know,
maybe they could do another showing and people pay for it.
Yeah, we could. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like,
absolutely.
I would pay $20 or $30 to see this.
Okay.
I would.
Yeah. Well, you know, people can let me know on Instagram, at, the Dresden Sun or, Tyler Lockamy on Instagram. Hit me up. I just need to know that it is wanted to be seen like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
brought
yeah.
in Lincoln.
Yeah.
At the Cascade.
Yeah,
yeah.
She did.
For that. And that's because she wanted to
so,
do
right.
it.
You know what's
yeah.
so funny is I had on a hard drive taped to the back of a, business card, the pitch deck for the Dresden Sun when she came here, and I was hoping to meet her and do something so unprofessional and hand her the card with the flash drive on it. And just shake her hand, be like, you know,
all
thank
right.
you so much. I hope you can
yeah.
take a look at this. And I just think of all the things that we had to do to try to get this.
Well,
made,
let
okay.
us know how
Tyler,
we can help you.
Yeah, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank you.
Won't
thank
be
you.
The last time. Make sure we have all your contact information.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to have you come back in and we can do a whole hour of talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
also, Sundial Film Festival.
Right.
That's
yeah,
coming
well,
up March 21st.
Yes.
You can buy tickets
well,
right now.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah,
CascadeTheater.org.
We're okay. involved with that. We've been involved with that for a long time, too.
I love it.
All right. CascadeTheater.org for the Sundial Film. Will this be shown at the Sundial Film Festival?
No.
Okay,
no.
so you're
yeah.
going to do the you're going to do it at Cinemark. You're doing
yep.
February 2nd, but then
it's
when,
already sold out. Though.
But then when will it be released?
So we are going to be for digital purchase and rent starting February 17th.
Okay.
We will be. This is also really important. Thank you for reminding me. We are. Self-distributing through theaters. So we are going to be in Mount Shasta. We're going to be in Eureka. We're going to be Crescent City and then Grants Pass, starting February 6th through the 12th. And there's three showings per day all through that week. So if people can, you know, take a little field trip up to Mount Shasta, go watch the film, it'd really help us because, if it performs well this week, they could extend us. And they also have, like 9 other theaters that they could get us into.
So you're going to be up at Mount Shasta
mm-hmm.
for that, the 6th to the 12th.
Yes.
All right.
At the theater there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
12th through 16th.
Sixth through the 12th.
Sixth through the 12th. Thank
yep.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
16th, it is releasing for digital purchase and rental. But see the movie in the theater.
Okay.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what you're
yeah.
Okay. Well, Tyler, thanks for being flexible so we can
yeah.
kind of roll you in.
Man,
morning.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate
no,
it.
No, we are so, it's another revenue stream
mm-hmm.
that we need as a community maybe to take a look at this and see what can we do to make it easier for
yeah,
people up here.
Yeah, and I do know some people from the county and the city are going to be at the premiere, and I'm really hoping that they see, you know, not only the support, but, you know, I'm willing to talk to them about all the economics, you know, and it's another industry that could be really
400,
helpful up here.
I think it was 400, at least 400 plus rooms
mm-hmm.
and $1 million at a local lumber company.
It's right? insane.
Okay. Tyler, thanks a lot. I'm sure this is going to be very successful. And
thank you.
You won't be the last time you're here.
And after we get back from the break, we got Maestro Scott Seaton and North State Symphony talking about an upcoming event that we definitely want to share with all of you. Billy the Kid, plus a lot of other things that are happening with the symphony after this commercial break here on KCNR.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Wind River Resort and Casino is excited to announce the return of Slapwood.
War. Brought to you by Heartbot Productions. This exhilarating showdown will have two fierce opponents going head-to-head in an unforgettable battle of slaps. Who will emerge as the last one standing? Event is January 31st. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. For complete details or to purchase tickets, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Are you tired of your business insurance expenses going up and up? Surprisingly, there is some relief here in California. The workers' compensation market in California is the hottest it's been in years. Companies are offering huge discounts on some worker compensation policies, and if your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation insurance lately, you're paying too much. Siskiyou Insurance Services deals with some of the best insurance companies in California, not only for business insurance, but also workers' compensation insurance, too. Hartford, Travelers, Liberty, and more. Real estate agencies, smoking hot rates. Lawyers, some of the best rates in California. Doctor's offices and dentist offices, we have the companies. And contractors, we can write your comp too. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services today if you want to save money on your business insurance portfolio. If your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation this year, you can by calling Siskiyou Insurance in Redding, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark.
Taking place two separate nights, Thursday, February 5th and Friday, February 6th, from 6 to 9 p.m.
at Turtle Bay Museum in Redding. Enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines,
live music, and a fun night out. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends.
This 21 and over event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out.
Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, February 5th and 6th.
Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready to experience the clairvoyance at Wind River Resort and Casino. Direct from Vegas with an all-new show featuring never-before-seen mental magic and spectacular illusions. Indulge in a date night of mystery, magic, and cuisine on February 14th. An elegant pasta dinner will be served at 6:30 p.m. Experience the clairvoyance. Tickets just $75 plus fees. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com. Or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision.
She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. You notice that there was kind of a long commercial break. That's the way we got back online so we can spend a whole half hour with our next guest. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. I told you about my exciting way of screwing up my online booking there Tuesday. But Booksy is easy to use if you just read.
Oh.
What it says when you go out, and not just think that's the one you're going to, that barbershop, but Cypress Square Barbershop. Been going there since I moved here in 2007. Never went to another barbershop. Great people. You never get a bad haircut there. It's located right off Athens Avenue. Same location since 1967. It's not a hair salon, my friends. It's a barbershop. And you can make an appointment that works on your schedule via Booksy, and which sends you a reminder that morning. Or you can just give them a call at 530-244-9478. It's Man's Last Stronghold. These are good guys down there. We're here with Scott Seaton, one of our favorite guests, a conductor of the North State Symphony.
He's our maestro.
He came in. How long have you been up here now?
This is my 11th season.
Wow.
Okay. In 11 years, he came on this show because they brought in the different conductors that they were looking at.
Right.
And that was your first time, and we were so fortunate that Scott Seaton got the job.
Yeah, no, it's been quite a ride these past 11 years. You know, I was working with some, with the youth orchestra in Reading last night, and the first thing that came to my mind when I walked in the door to them, because I drove up, from Chico last night, and I was like, you know, you all should appreciate where you live, and that the fact that all around you is this beautiful, sprawling mountain landscape, and you have Mount Shasta in the distance rising 14,200 feet, and it's just, you know, there are very few places in the United States that have this sort of beauty built in. I mean, it's just an amazing place.
Well, good for you.
And the rivers, and you know, sometimes we do take it for granted. I mean, we look over there. Yeah, there's Shasta, there's Lassen.
Exactly.
You can drive over here to Whiskey Town. I mean, we do kind of take it for granted. And
then people move away.
Yeah.
And then they come back.
Then they want to come back.
Right.
We have to take a step back every so often.
You gotta maintain that perspective. And I think my life is just chaotic enough that I'm fortunate in a way that I get to, in some ways, feel and experience these things anew every single time that I go to various places. And like, wow, this view, never gets old. Like the sunset last night, the clear sky, like it just doesn't get old. So, you know, you just gotta, you know, appreciate that perspective whenever we can.
And I think that's, probably indicative of what it is to be a true artist.
Yeah.
Because, and not only that, but you, run and have been an avid cyclist. So you're out in the elements.
Yeah.
And I think people who do outside activities, and not just on a beautiful day, but they are disciplined to do activities like your yard work, you know, you're going to get out and do things, is that, you know, you're connected to the elements.
Yep.
And, I also think that is, conducive, but that, is that the right word? I don't know. I think I'm mixing two words together, to be able to appreciate and understand art and color.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, thank you for being with us this morning, and thanks for moving around, because I know you're doing the media run. As a matter of fact, today, right after you get off the show, this is something we didn't know about until you came in today.
Yeah, we never really talk about this, but I'm glad to bring it up.
Yes, please do. Scott and our maestro here and like a string quartet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a string quartet from the symphony that... Every 6 to 8 weeks, we have a round of visits to various schools and various assisted living homes in the area. And, today, for example, we will visit four places, within like a 5 or 6 hour period. And it's a lot of fun. We give these sort of, 45 minute to hour long programs. I get to talk about music in a very informal setting. We play through some snippets from the concert or concerts coming up, and sometimes, just generally speaking, we just chat about, you know, different composers or time periods, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just a musical chat, basically, and it's always a good turnout. People really look forward to it. I'm happy to take members of the symphony into places that, both appreciate it and oftentimes places where they aren't able to come to the Cascade Theater. They aren't able to come to the concert hall just because, of where they are in their lives. And I'm happy to bring music to them and to share that with them.
You mentioned too that this was sponsored, because when I think about a string quartet and yourself, but a string quartet, that means that every time they've got to put their instrument back in their case, get in their car, go to the next location, take their instrument out, tune.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you got to tune. And that's a lot of, energy and commitment for the musicians as well.
Right.
And that this, day that you do this every couple months, you said.
Right.
Has been sponsored by a person that used to live here.
Yes.
The love of that music. That's so cool.
So some people may even know this name, but Joan Genthy left Reading, probably 2 or 3 years ago and moved to Arizona, I believe, for family. And, Joan was just such a passionate arts supporter, and she's lived a few places in the country and has been involved with many organizations, but since she's been in Reading, she was just always an ardent supporter of the North State Symphony, and loved how we all went out and wanted to sponsor, you know, just the symphony getting into the community as much as possible and to spread music into people's lives. So we are always immensely appreciative of her support and her impact.
Oh man, she's a little hero in my book. But I just want to say this, you know, before we go on to the next subject, if you can just imagine for a few listening today that, well, there's two things. When you're going into like Lavender Hills, you're spreading, healing love.
Yeah.
Then when you're going to the schools, healing love, yes, but the seeds of inspiration where a child could be, I don't know what I want to do, I'm lost, maybe home life isn't good, maybe they've been bullied, well, all these things that we've all gone through.
Right.
And then they hear something that moves, stirs their soul.
Right. Exactly.
And it could be in that moment, you're bringing that in with Joan's great, sponsorship.
Right.
Where you can affect a soul.
Absolutely, yeah, and what's so wonderful about going and, you know, visiting everyone from kindergarten on the school side, from kindergarten to like even high schools in the area we visited. But it's always the shining eyes. One of my great mentors used to put it, the shining eyes. Like, you know, adults, you know, we're all jaded, we're all cynical, but like you go to the kids and you get to bring music to them, and they're all like, they don't know what's about to happen. So they're like, you can just see it in their eyes, and that's always a special moment.
And think how many kids, and you'll never know probably, I don't know, you're young enough, you might,
yeah.
That you've just changed their lives.
Yeah.
And I imagine, maybe it has, that somebody's come up to you 10 years afterwards and said, you know, I'm in music because of you, Mr. Seaton.
Well, ironically, in Reading, my very first concert as music director, we had a young man in the audience, and that was his first symphony concert that he experienced. And we played Beethoven's Fifth Symphony that day in 2015. Since then, he went into a music sort of education path. He became later on, for a little while, a board member for the North State Symphony, even while going to school in Nashville and in Michigan, and always kept that connection. It was like, Scott, yeah, you know, you and the symphony, you really made this come alive for me. So yeah, these stories,
yeah,
they do
that's
happen.
Great.
And
that's great.
Who knows how else? Who, you know, we might talk to a 5 or 6 year old today that, and, you know, could be the next Leonard Bernstein or something like that. So who knows?
You know what? But what you're doing is having such a tremendous impact on our youth, but also on those people that in the evening of their lives.
Right.
It still has a big impact.
It really does. And honestly, for me, one of the most rewarding visits that is a repeat visit for us is this assisted living facility for all the veterans, which, you know, I come from a military family as well. So just seeing how appreciative they are when we talk about, you know, various composers and their impact on music in America, and even playing, like, you know, one of the songs from the various branches in the military. It just, you can tell that it reaches something so deep inside them, that they maybe not aren't able to express anymore, but just seeing their reaction is always gets me.
Mm. Okay, let's talk about this weekend and Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
Now, people are thinking, a symphony called Billy the Kid. Please explain this, because I thought, well, it probably doesn't have a lot to do with it, but I was with Billy the Kid, but I was wrong. In a way.
Right. Ironically, just to preface this, you know, I flew here this week from Tulsa, and we were actually doing the same program, sort of, in Tulsa. We did at Copeland's Billy the Kid, and we had actually moved that concert earlier because of the giant snowstorm that just hit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I almost didn't make it here, honestly, because all the flights 2 hours after me were canceled. So I was almost stuck in Tulsa this week. But when we did the concert.
I think there's a song called that.
I tried to get out of Tulsa, but
stuck
I couldn't
in Tulsa.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
But we had the concert 2 days early on Thursday, last Thursday instead of Saturday, and you know, everyone showed up with their cowboy hats. I'm like, wow, people really take this stuff. That's great. Like, they're getting in the spirit, and because, you know, the music is, you know, Billy the Kid's Aaron Copland's Billy the Kid is one of these great American pieces that in the mid 1930s, in 1938 when it came out, he was trying to figure out. He was close to narrowing in what the American sound in the concert hall should be, because we wanted to get away from sort of Western classical music, like the European sound, like the Brahms and the Beethoven. We didn't want to have that. Early on in the late 1800s, we had the Boston Six and Amy Beach and Knowles Payne and all these people who were trying to make the American sound, but were still stuck in the European tradition. Aaron Copland comes along. He's, you know, a generation or two later, and he has, you know, this great training from Paris where he spent a few years. He came back to the U.S., wrote a lot of pieces for that had jazz, and put them on the concert hall stage, just like Gershwin did with Rhapsody in Blue. You know, and it's a long process. It's a long fight to try to meld all of these different elements of America into one sort of entity, because people were like, oh, jazz, that just doesn't belong on the concert hall stage. We don't understand that. We don't want to hear that. But they were persistent, and Gershwin prevailed. Copland, he did it, and he kind of stepped away for a little while. But when we get to, you know, a decade later in Billy the Kid, we were coming out of the Depression. We were heading into World War II. We were heading into all these different significant time periods in America. And he wanted to write music that was accessible, that people would pay money to come see in a time when not a lot of people had money. And so he was trying to tell these stories. He was trying to, like, what do people want to hear? So he partnered up, and they came up with this ballet about, you know, Billy the Kid, about Henry McCarty's life, and how, you know, they traveled from New York down to New Mexico, and the quest to get to Silver City, and all of the things that happened in his life, including, you know, just, you know, card playing at night around a campfire, you know, two drunks, you know, battling it out. There's even this huge sort of gun battle represented in the orchestra, which, you know, which is fascinating, because they take all of these, Copland takes these four orchestral textures, groups of instruments, and just pits them against each other in this very rhythmic and lively way. And then it leads into the eventual capture of Billy the Kid. And there's this celebration, which is funny, because you have this theme in the winds, the woodwinds, and it's like bam padam, bam padam, and then below that in the cellos and the basses you have this wrong key. Like it's like
dissonant.
It's dissonant. It doesn't sound like it's intentionally wrong, and it's like kind of this metaphor for Billy the Kid and this mischief that always sort of permeates his life. And you know, eventually he gets away, but then he's killed. And you have this theme, like Billy's death, and then you have Back on the Open Prairie. And Copland not only tells the story of Billy the Kid, but also is able to create this American sound. He's able to capture all of these different sort of soundscapes for what we visualize the American West to be at that time. And
wow.
So he incorporates cowboy songs and folk tunes and a little bit of ragtime for a rhythmic bass. And it's just a very fun piece. And, go ahead, Carl.
I'm just going to say, we need to take a quick break.
Please.
And we'll come back and we can continue discussing this, because I'm interested.
Yeah.
I want to go. And I know that our weekend is just chock, but I think I can spare a couple hours on Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah, we
awesome.
Want to be there. And just,
and I can wear my cowboy hat.
Yeah. You can.
And then we'll find out more about the
can
program.
Can I wear my spurs?
You can wear... You can wear whatever you want. I always encourage people, wear whatever you want.
That'd be cool if the percussionist had like the spurs and went, ping! Yeah.
You can bring a little bit of Big Bad and Yogi in. Okay, we'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an intricate part of the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Wind River Resort and Casino presents the Ultimate Tailgate Party on Sunday, February 8th. The event center will explode into a gridiron celebration. Doors open at 2:30 p.m. Mouth-watering tailgate favorites, drink specials, and drives. Whether you're riding with your team or just in it for the party, tickets just $35 per person or $300 per table. This event will sell out fast. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-YOU-WIN. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, tomorrow we're going to have Marco Licky, who is the president of the Shasta County School Board. We're also going to have a young lady that is 14 years old and is competing for a national championship in horses, and I've got to find out a little more about that. She's going to be on at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk about that. And then we have the some of the young people from the Turning Point USA. I mean, we cover everything here on this show.
Absolutely.
Turning Point USA are going to be on also. Mm-hmm. So next week, we're going to be talking AI on Friday with a guy from with Dr. Dan Sloan, who teaches it out at Simpson University, because it's touching all of us. Anyway, we are here with Scott Seaton. He just sent me a picture from the first time he was on here 15 years ago. We were in our old studios.
Right.
And he and Linda. So I'm going to get another picture today of he and Linda.
Yeah.
And I can loan you a hat.
I wanted to come in. Usually I'm not here on Thursday morning, but I heard Scott was coming in. I said, I'm not going to miss this.
Yeah.
So welcome back, Scott. And
The symphony is this weekend.
Scott Seaton,
it's
of course.
Sunday. He's, of course,
our maestro,
our conductor. And we're talking about one of Copeland's most famous, I think one of his most famous works.
Arguably one of his most famous. And it certainly led to the time period in the 40s where he wrote Appalachian Spring, where he wrote Rodeo, where he wrote all of this stuff that, you know, and people, just for those of you who don't know, like Aaron Copeland, who is he? If you remember the commercial from the 90s, the beef commercial. Beef, bum, 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 it's what for dinner. That's Aaron Copeland. That's Aaron Copeland. Like, in a time where Americans couldn't eat more beef, they're advertising for beef.
Yeah.
And then, and so the symphony this Sunday at Cascade is going to be Billy the Kid. We're
2 p.m.
going. We're
it's
going.
2 p.m. And if you can't make that the night before in Chico. But let's talk about the program in itself that you are doing. It's not all just Copeland. That's the highlight.
Right,
but you
right,
have,
right.
like, the hour before, which I love, where you explain the pieces that are coming up.
Right, right, right.
Or not just explain. You give a history and in depth. It's like an educational aspect.
You get to talk to the soloists. You get to ask questions if you want. It's just a nice little overview of the program, these nice little tidbits of what to listen for, sort of give a musical sort of scope or architecture of the evening. There's a lot on this program. Of course, we're featuring Copeland's Billy the Kid, but it's also the program where we feature both our young artist winners. So we have two soloists in this program who auditioned in a public audition last year for an opportunity to perform with the symphony. They're both fantastic young musicians. One is J.J. Tiefenbach, who's going to play the first movement of the Elgar Cello Concerto, which we've all heard in media, in TV shows. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of movies that feature this theme. Just a beautifully gorgeous, heart-wrenching piece of music. And you'll know it. You'll know it. And then we have our other young artist winner, Aaron Van Mol, singing this aria, the most famous aria from Gounod's Romeo and Juliet. It's called Je veux vivre, which means I want to live.
Je veux vivre, yes.
Yeah. So she's going to sing that. It's going to be an amazing, like, lively, energetic, light, sort of a lot of coloratura in the soprano line.
Ooh.
But, the other big component to this concert is we have a side-by-side, our annual side-by-side with our area youth orchestra. So for one piece on the program, which is Alexander Borodin's Polovetsian Dances, this very lively, sort of angular, very Russian-sounding. He's one of the big five Russian composers of the 20th century. He wrote this piece called Polovetsian Dances, and the kids are going to join us and sit next to their professional counterparts, and they're going to play this piece, which is just a great piece. One of my favorites to perform whenever I get a chance to do it.
Bring your Kleenex. I just get emotional you talking about it because mentorship is so important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so they're having opportunities that I never had when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that we're able to do this for them. And the other big piece on the program, the piece that starts it, is by a living composer. Her name is Gabriella Lena Frank, and she was born in the Bay Area.
Wow.
And she has just accumulated such a big career since then. And just want to make sure I don't get a parking ticket.
No, I think it's that this gentleman pulled over somebody, okay, and they are getting a ticket in front of our window, and Carl's looking at me. Because there's a police uniform in this. You know, so anyway, Carl, come back to the office. Come back. I think he's, it's like, lock the front door. Okay, go ahead.
But Gabriella Frank has such a huge career already, and she's been composer in residence for, like, the Philadelphia Orchestra and has, like, a Guggenheim Award. Like, she's gotten a lot of big praise for her writing. And her parents are, her dad is from, like, Latvia, and her mom is Peruvian. So her task as a composer is, like, to try to capture, just like Copland, what her vision of the new American
okay,
sound will be.
Okay.
So she's trying to, like, bring all of these, like, the piece you're going to hear is called Three Latin American Dances, and it's got some Andean influence, and it's got these very descriptive titles in the movements, and lots of, like, infectious rhythms, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's got, like, little quotes to various composers like Leonard Bernstein and Ginastera and Béla Bartók, and it's just a very well done piece, and I'm happy that people get to experience it with us.
So when the hour before it starts, let's say for the Reading at 1 o'clock, you come into the Cascade.
Yeah.
You can hear Scott. Now you will go describe like you've done here where.
Yeah.
Eric's
so important. Okay, I'm sorry, I had to break in. When does that start? When
1
you come
p.m.
On?
1 o'clock.
1 p.m.
Okay. You need to be there when Scott comes out and explains everything, because it just makes the whole experience probably 50% better.
Yeah.
Because you understand, and you he'll tell you about it, and just like you're hearing today,
right,
except even more, talks about the people that are going to be performing all of these. So you need to be there at 1.
Right.
The performance starts at
2 p.m.
2 p.m. Trust me. Listen to that first half hour, 40 minutes, and then you get a chance to go back out, get a little glass of wine, or go to the bathroom, and then come on back and sit down.
Yeah. 30 minutes, otherwise the musicians get upset. So
okay,
it's 30 minutes, then you get the chance to go exactly as Carl said.
Yeah.
Go relax, go to the restroom, grab some wine. Musicians are going to start to trickle on stage and warm up. So yeah, it's
there
just
you
a
go.
Nice.
Oh,
but,
fantastic.
But avail yourself of that.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
it's
right,
so worth it.
Plus,
so
the Cascade is such an iconic venue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a beautiful space.
So are you committing to are you committing to
I'm
Sunday?
I'm committing to it. And if you're not there, maybe I'll take Ted with me.
Yeah. You can do the horse in the morning.
We can both wear our cowboy hats and spurs and come in there. Hey, where do we get tickets?
So you can go to northstatesymphony.org, or you can go and visit the Cascade Theater box office. You can go to their website. You can walk up in person. And if you can't make the Reading show, you can drive down to Chico on Saturday night at 7:30 and can catch it in Laxon Auditorium.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but it's so easy here, and Cascade is such a beautiful theater,
yeah,
like you
great,
said. And there's parking all around. And so, yeah, but it's... It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of all the programs this year, I mean, we were doing so much fun stuff this year. We did Frankenstein in the fall. We accompanied the movie, so that was a lot of fun. Like, we had a good turnout for Frankenstein. That was exciting. And yeah, we had a great program in the fall, and we have our season finale coming up in just a couple months. So,
how many musicians do we have? We only got a couple minutes. How many musicians?
About 65 or 70.
60.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, if you haven't gone, please avail yourself. when people tell me that, oh, Redding, you know, not a lot of coach, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know who says
you
that
need
anymore.
To go and listen. No, you know what? You don't hear people saying, well, there's nothing to do. But avail yourself of this to go see the symphony on Sunday here. The tickets are not. Are very reasonably priced.
And
it's a great event. And take your kids, take your grandkids.
Yeah.
The police pulled over, this, and I was watching. It.
Yeah, I know you
pulled
were.
Over this young lady, and I gave her kind of a thumbs up, everything okay, and at the end she gives me the big thumbs up. So I think it was a warning. So
I think her windows were tinted.
Maybe that was it.
Tinted a little like
I'm
she lived in Nevada.
But there was also a ride along, a young man in there was a ride along,
okay.
And he's watching all this.
A scene. You couldn't help yourself.
No, I couldn't.
Scott and I had to stay focused.
The red and blue lights were on,
Scott and I had to be looking at each other like, we don't know what's going on over there because we're going to continue on supporting this.
Okay. Scott Seaton, if you take a look at our Facebook page today, you're going to see Scott when the first time he came on our show.
Yeah.
And you're going to see his photo now. And I'm not sure, but you look a little younger now.
Now? Oh, jeez.
You know, you may have.
He's married. He's settled. He's doing so much music all over the planet.
The world, yeah.
And so when you get a chance to be recognized with doing what you love, there's nothing better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scott, thanks so much.
Always great to be here. Yeah.
Oh, it's always great having you here. All right, everybody. It's going to be it's going to be a little chilly out there today, but it's going to be a good day. Every day you get up and walk. And stand up and move forward. It's a great day. Have a good one, and God bless America.
Around, and I'll keep this world from
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.